We're in the book of Joshua. We're up to chapter 15. What was going on the last time we got together? We're in the middle of a section where the Lord was marking out the portion of the promised land that he was given to each of the tribes. And remember that each tribe was going to be responsible for their portion of the promised land. They were supposed to drive out the wicked inhabitants that still remain. Remember, the major battle was won over the land with Joshua leading the way, but they still had a lot of folks living in these smaller areas. So when they were handed their portion of land and told, this is where you're at, they're now responsible to remove all of the wicked folks that were still there. And we're going to see more of that in the study today as we get into it. So spiritually for us, this is a picture of our walk with the Lord. We're responsible to get rid of all the junk out of our lives, the junk of sin we're talking about. You know, when we were saved, Christ paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future, so he took care of all of that. But we still have some sinful junk, some sinful practices that want to hang around in our life. And the Lord wants us to get all that stuff out of our life. So we can relate to these stories here as a good spiritual lesson for us. We're in the process of clearing out all of those wicked inhabitants that still want to hang out in our life. And that's because we have the flesh with us still, and the flesh wants to sin. So we're going to have to deal with that until the day we leave this place, right? These passages now, we're going to see, they really encourage us to continue in the fight, because sometimes that fight takes a while. Now, if you remember last time, we ended up by seeing Caleb, and he was a shining example of what every Christian is supposed to be like. Even at the age of 85, he was willing to fight giants in some of the toughest territory in the promised land. And we'll see him come back in the picture again today. And he is such an encouragement to us that it can be done. It's possible. You just have to trust the Lord and step out there and do it. So in chapter 15, we'll start here with verse 1. It says, so this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. And I remember here, as we're looking at these places, because this is now going to talk about Judah and the land that the Lord is giving to them. This is the tribe of Judah he's focusing on. But we're going to look at these a little bit here. First of all, since we're not familiar with all the names of these places for the most part, and these locations, we're going to move through a few sections pretty quickly here. We're not going to take time to read every single one of these names or try to read them. Some of them are rather tough for us to even read. But, you know, if we lived in Jerusalem or Israel there, and we were members of these tribes in particular, these places would be very familiar to us. Just like we can mention cities and towns around here, we all know exactly where we're talking about. So for those citizens that are in that location, they obviously would know every one of these, and they would have great significance to each one too. So the Lord puts them there, and it's a real message to them as they were going through this time to know exactly which land belonged to them. Now, secondly, each of these places that the Lord gives in detail and gives us the names and everything, they are very important to the Lord. So for us to get this, think of each of these places that are mentioned like they're birthday gifts from the Lord to each of these tribes, because they're gifts. The Lord was giving them this land. So the way he mentions each particular one, it's like here's another present, here's another present, here's another present. And that's kind of the way to see it, as the Lord was divvying up these portions of land and giving them to these people. So each one of these places represented a victory that the Lord was going to bless them with. Yeah, they had some enemies in those lands, but when the Lord gave it to them, he was expecting them to have victory in that place. So everyone that's mentioned should be another victory that the Lord is handing to them. So as they conquered these enemies that still remained in the land, the Lord wanted to get them to the place where their land was free and clear, you know, with no more enemies there, so they could fully enjoy the promised land. And he laid that before them. They could. I'm sure Caleb had a great time in his land after he wiped all the giants out and, you know, had all the conquered the toughest areas there. I'm sure he was able to say, this is awesome, man. This is great. God gave me this, you know. So for us now, these places, as we look about them and think about them, they represent areas of our life that the Lord wants us to see victory in also. So as we look at these locations and we say, man, there's a lot of them. There really are. a bunch of them that are mentioned here. The same is true for our life. The Lord may point out some area in our life that needs to be cleaned up, some sin issue, like these wicked inhabitants it mentions here, that need to be removed. Then after we see victory in that area, what does the Lord do? He points out another area that needs work. And then there's another area that needs work, and then another area that needs work. But, you know, don't say to yourself, well, I don't want to keep fighting these battles. I don't want to do that, if that's what it takes, you know. No, don't do that. Be encouraged instead. The major battle was won by Christ on the cross. We didn't have to fight that one. Praise the Lord. We couldn't have won that one, okay? He did it for us, and we're so grateful that he did. And Christ is continuing to give you and I victories and strength to fight by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So he's blessed us already before the fight even begins, when he's going to show us that next thing he wants to work on in our life. So realize each of these places in our life is just another victory that the Lord wants us to experience, as he points out this needs work in your life, and this needs work in your life, and this needs work in your life. So that's the way we need to look at this too. And with each victory that you and I are able to see as the Lord brings us through these things, we're being conformed to that image of Christ. So with each victory, we're looking more and more like Jesus. And that's what God wants for our life. That's a beautiful thing when you stop and think about how the Lord's doing that. Now, chapter 15, from the middle of verse 1 all the way down to verse 12, where he's given all the details of all those places. And we're going to jump down to verse 12 and look what it tells us here. It says, it tells the west border. And then the middle of verse 12, it says, this is the boundary of the children of Judah all around according to their families. Now, I think it's interesting, if you notice here, it says this is the boundary, not this was the boundary. Yeah, that's true, that it still is the boundary for their land, and it always will be. When the Lord gave them this territory, it was for all time. And the Lord repeats this over and over in the Old Testament. I gave it to them, and it's theirs. So as we look at this, I thought it was interesting that if you have it in your Bible where it has the word, this is the boundary of the children of Judah, that is probably in italics. It was supplied by the translators. But the idea there is that it's still their land. It wasn't their land. It is their land. It was then, is now, and is always going to be, is the concept there. So you look down to verse 13. It says, now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. This is Caleb coming back in the picture again. Remember his testimony, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Beautiful testimony. He gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba. We looked at that before. That's the land that was given to him, promised to him from Moses, from the Lord, obviously. And later on, it was going to be changed to the name Hebron, which you have listed there also in verse 13. And it says Arba was the father of Anak. So it reminds us of that again. So Caleb comes back in the picture here. And every time we think of him or see him, he's a reminder of total victory. And that's the way you want to think of him when you think about old Caleb here. And that victory he had was because of what? His faith. That he trusted the Lord when he was fighting those battles. And he even said that, you know, basically there's, I'm fighting with the Lord. There's no battle that was too big, no battle that was too tough, because he knew that he was on the side of the Lord. And that's an encouragement to us too. If the Lord gives us direction, guidance, leads us, moves us to do something, as long as it's the Lord doing it, we have nothing to fear, because our trust is in the Lord. And we just go where he leads and follow where he leads us there. Now, verse 14 says, Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshaiah, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now, remember, these were the giants that he was fighting, these descendants of Anak here, or Anak that is referred to here. And their lesson for us again, reminder, we spent some time on Caleb before, but remember, there aren't any giants in our life that the Lord cannot conquer. Okay, so we face some big things sometimes, some stuff that looks really hard, really tough, but realize there is no giant that's going to come against you or me that's bigger than our God. God's able to handle all of those things. So no matter how big, maybe even some sin issues seem to be in our life that need to be cleaned up, some of these wicked inhabitants of the land as we see here, the Lord is greater than all of them. Just do the same thing Caleb did. Just trust the Lord and give him time. And you'll see victory if you do those two things. We've seen that a number of times in here. Now verse 15 says, then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. So this is still talking about Caleb. Formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Achsah, my daughter, as wife. Now Caleb here, he doesn't need help conquering this land. He doesn't say, I'm getting tired, I need some help. No, what he's doing is he's putting this out there as a test to see who's going to be worthy to marry his daughter. So that's what he places out here, that if you can take this place, then you're good enough. I'll let you marry my daughter, is what he was saying. He knew if somebody was willing to come in this area, because we know it's a tough area, right? He was getting one of the toughest spots to fight, and he wanted that. So he knew this guy is going to have to be brave. He's going to have to be a man of faith, a man that was willing to trust the Lord for the victory. Not a bad test here to see if a guy survives this or not. And now that's the kind of guy he wanted to marry his daughter, okay? Now this can remind us of the test, if you want to call it that, of who God wants to be as the bride for his son Jesus. Remember, the church is called the bride of Christ. So how can I be worthy of being part of that bride that is worthy enough to receive Christ? And there is a test for that, if you will, to be worthy of that position, being the bride for God's son. And it's a test of faith also. Same test. Are you willing to trust Christ as your Savior, as the one who died to pay for your sins? That's the test. If you're willing to receive him into your life, then you pass the test of faith and you now qualify to be the bride of Christ. So it's pretty cool to think that the Lord has placed that test on this entire world. And if you're willing to put your faith in Christ, then you're able to be part of the bride of Christ. Beautiful picture again. Verse 17 goes on, so Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. So it's Caleb's nephew here. And he gave him Achsah, his daughter, as wife. So he follows through. This Othniel steps up and he's able to pull it off. And his name's kind of interesting if you remember him, because he's going to come up later on in the book of Judges. He's going to be one of the judges of Israel at a later point in time. So this guy is pretty brave and he is a man of faith. I mean, it really comes out to see more of his life later on. So he passed the test of faith here and Caleb allowed him to marry his daughter. Verse 18, now it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? She answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So a little story of Caleb and his daughter and what happened here. His daughter decided that they not only had land her dad gave her, but it'd be really good to have some water too. If you're going to have animals and everything like that and crops, it's really nice to have some water added with what you have for the land. So she persuades her husband to go along with this. And then when she appears here and she gets off, I guess Caleb, knowing her, can see she's got something on her mind when he's helping her down off of her animal there. And he says, so what's going on? And then she makes the request and asks for a blessing. If you notice in verse 19, she says, give me a blessing. And she then tells what the blessing is she's looking for. She's asking for springs of water, which is a cool thing. She wants the good living water. She doesn't want something stagnant there. She knows the good stuff. So that's what she asked for. So Caleb's daughter, she's an interesting lady. Notice she doesn't demand this of her husband, but she persuades him. That shows wisdom to be able to do that. Also, she's been raised by Caleb. So she's not afraid to step out and ask for great things. This is a big request she's making. Water was valuable back in those days. You know, if you had water, you had a lot going for you. So she wasn't afraid to step up and ask him to really bless her with that. And what's interesting, why would she do that to her dad? Because she knows him well enough that she trusts that he's going to want to do this. He's going to want to bless her. So it's really cool that this is what she knows about her own dad. So what a great picture of our relationship with God. You know, do you realize that if God is your father, he wants to bless you too? He wants to do that. Sometimes we come to God, it seems like, with such fear, you know, we're thinking, I should ask God for just the bare minimum of what I need, you know, I don't want to bother him and all this kind of stuff. But realize he's your father. You know, just like Caleb was, I'm sure, glad to give something to his daughter. You want that? Sure, it's yours, you know, and he gave it right to her. And she trusted her dad. She knew I could ask him without fear that, hey, all he could do is say no. You know, but he said yes. But the Lord tells us in Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So don't be afraid to ask God. You know, the Lord says you don't ask. You haven't got anything because you didn't ask. So it's okay, you know, to ask. And we don't have to be afraid to do that. He loves you as his own dear child, and he loves to give you good things when you ask him for them. So a little encouragement for us there as we just look at the relationship Caleb had with his daughter. So verse 19, when she said, give me that blessing, and he went ahead and gave it to her. It says he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So I don't know that she was asking for all of that, but he said, sure. And he really blessed her with that, you know. So we get another kind of interesting picture of Caleb here. Not only was he a great warrior of faith, man, you wouldn't mind following this guy in a battle because he's going to the top. You don't have to worry. He's not going to stop somewhere and say, I'm scared. He's going to go all the way. But he was also very generous, another thing we see about his character. You know, he was blessing his daughter for her and for her family and for future generations, because this is going to be in your family now that he has passed this on to you. So it's going down to the next generation to be a blessing to them too. So right there, do you see the loving picture of Christ? He wants to bless us. He wants to bless our family and even for future generations. So yeah, don't hesitate in asking the Lord for good things. He really wants to make a difference in our life. He wants to bless us, and he'd love to see us enjoy his blessing, not just in ourselves and our family, but also generations to come. He wants to see that kind of blessing in the family, if we're bold enough to ask him for it, okay? Verse 20, it says, this was in the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families, the cities at the limits of the tribe of the children of Judah. And he's going to go through this whole list again of places here. He's going to name all these portions of land that he was given to the tribe of Judah. And again, there's a bunch of them. So we're going to look down all the way from verse 21 all the way down to verse 61, almost the whole rest of the chapter there. This section lists all of these towns and regions that God was giving to them. And remember, each one of them is kind of like a picture of a gift from the Lord. So if this were Christmas and these were Christmas gifts, they got a bunch of them. And it'd take a while just to open each one, next to next to next to next, okay? So for Judah, this is almost like the tribe of Judah. It's almost like a giant birthday party, a Christmas party, where all these gifts are being opened as the Lord says, and this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours, you know? Now, wouldn't it be cool someday when we're in heaven if the Lord would say to us, okay, here's all those victories that you won in your life as I gave you victory after victory as you walk with me. Because that's what these are. These are victory after victory after victory. As long as they follow the Lord and do what he says, this is what they're looking at on this list here. But wouldn't it be cool if the Lord did that with us, you know, as we get to heaven and he takes us through and says each one of these victories he's done and we look back over our life. Now, I don't know if the Lord's planning to do that or not, but it's a pretty cool thought. And he could very well do it. I mean, we've got all eternity to enjoy his presence, so he might just do that. I'm not sure. In verse 63, in the end of chapter 15, it says, as for the Jebusites, this is one of the group of the Canaanite folks there, they were the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. So at the time of the writing of the book of Joshua, these folks were still living, these wicked inhabitants, as the Lord would point out to us, they were still living in Jerusalem. And the reason was because they said the tribe of Judah could not drive them out. So this is a failure on the part of the tribe of Judah to obey God. They were told to drive out all the wicked inhabitants of the land, and they failed to do so. Now notice it says that they could not do it. And that's true. They couldn't. So you say, well, why are you blaming them and saying they failed then? They couldn't do it on their own. But by trusting the Lord, they could. Because it was already a promise given to them by God. All they had to do was trust him and give him time. And somewhere in the process, they gave up. And they didn't do it anymore. So they disobeyed the Lord by not following through with what they were called to do. And you know, when you read carefully the passages we've been through earlier before in our studies, God had already told them that he would be fighting for them. And he wanted them to see total victory in their land. So it isn't like he said, go get them guys, I'm going to sit back here and watch you. No, he said, I will drive them out. So he was going to do the work. All they had to do was put faith in him and trust him and step forward and do whatever he said. And they would see that victory. So the same is true for us. God wants us to keep fighting the sin issues in our life until we see total victory. Now, you might be thinking like these folks and saying, but I can't do that. Well, let me ask you, does your Bible say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Or does it just say I can only do a very few things if Christ strengthens me? I think your Bible reads the same as mine, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know this too. We all have hard battles to face in our life. We all do, okay? Some of these sin issues that have wandered into our life, they are tough. And they've really dug in and they don't want to leave. So there are tough battles we go through as believers. And these are personal fights, you know, that the world may not know we're going through. But you know you're going through them, you and the Lord, right? And sometimes we share with our brothers and sisters of Christ, say, man, would you pray for me, you know, because I'm really going through something here. And the enemy seems to be beating up and he's winning right now. So we have those. But, you know, we keep walking by faith and we keep trusting the Lord that he's going to keep fighting for us until the battle is won. So don't be discouraged. A Christian should never give up the fight to overcome sin. You know, God loves us so much. Don't ever give up, because this is all based on the love of the Lord. So the children of Judah here, a couple things we see about this. They figured it was too hard to beat the enemy, so they decided just to live with them, because they're going to let them stay in the land. They're not going to drive them out. Now, that's like us saying the same thing. You know, I can't beat this sin, so I guess I'm just going to have to live with it. Well, do you realize how dangerous it is for us to let our enemy, the devil, that's our enemy, right, to allow him to pull up his stakes and become our next door neighbor? What kind of trouble do you think he can get you in? You know, don't fool yourself into thinking that life's going to get better. I'll just deal with it and put up with this sin. When you do stuff like that, you know life's got to get worse. It is not going to get better. Adrian Rogers used to say this, if you're a Christian, don't get married to an unbeliever or you're going to have the devil for your father-in-law. That's a sobering thought when you think that went through. Yeah, somebody has said too, this reminds us why Caleb was mentioned before this. He proves that by faith they could conquer any territory. Right, so he basically said himself, give me the toughest land with giants and all, and as long as they have God's presence with me, I will be victorious. That was his way of doing things, you know. So with a Caleb like that hanging around, you don't have any excuse. When you say, oh, I can't do it. You know Caleb, he could do it. And he's got the same God you've got, so why can't you do it? You know, because you're not fighting it anyway. God's fighting it through you. You just have to stand out there. You got to go out there and face the enemy, right? So the same goes for us too. With Christ in our life, we don't have any excuse for giving up and letting a sin issue just remain in our life. We have to determine to continue fighting as long as we have God's presence with us. And Jesus said, he promised us, he would never leave us nor forsake us. So how long can the fight go on? As long as it needs to go on. Do not give up. You know, so in our hearts, we should prepare for victory and accept nothing less. I think that's what Caleb would say if you sat him down and asked him, how'd you guys do that? We prepared for victory and we wouldn't settle for anything less. Sounds like some general somewhere, right? Making a statement like that. Now, the real temptation would be for these people to say, well, Caleb's different. You know, God made him different, and that's why he could do all things, all those things that he did. But it wasn't Caleb that won those victories by himself. It was God who won those victories through Caleb, right? When you read the text carefully. And they all had the same God that Caleb did. Same God. So it's a real temptation for us as well to just give up and say, I'll just live with this sin, you know? But passages like this one, they encourage us to go on and to continue the fight. You know, if we have to, we can pray, Lord, please help me with my laziness or whatever it is that's discouraging us and tempting us to quit. Whatever it is, Lord, I need help with this. I need help with this. Please help me, Lord. And the Lord's glad to do that. So if you need help, if you need more than your own cry for help, call in the troops. Here, we got the family of God right here. You know, get them to join you in prayer or encouragement. You know, just tell them. I know I could come up to you guys and say, man, I've had a hard week this week. Do you mind praying for me? You guys would gladly say, oh, yeah, we gladly do that, man. We'll pray. You know, and they'll do the same for you. If you ask for prayer from guys here and stuff, be glad to do that for you. Whatever it helps to get you to the victory. We're family and we're all sinners. We're all there. So we understand what these struggles are like. And I was talking to a person this week, a young believer, and they said that they were still struggling with sin, you know, and they weren't like the rest of us who have known the Lord for a long time. And I had to assure them, to their surprise, that we're all struggling with sin. And they looked at me like, really? You're struggling with sin? I was like, oh, yeah. So I had to tell her, you know, we're all sinners. We're all facing this. And I like what one pastor said, as long as we're still struggling with sin, that's a good sign. It's when we're not struggling with sin, then there's something wrong. And that's true as Christians, because we've got this flesh and it's very selfish and it wants its way, you know, and it wants to do anything it pleases, and it's not pleasing to the Lord, because a lot of times it's leading us in a very selfish direction. So if you need help, just call on the family here. We'll be here for you. That's what the family of God is for, you know, be encouraging to one another. I want you to look at something in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a great, great passage for us in the New Testament under this new covenant that it's such an encouragement. I tell you what, you can read this as many times as you like. The Lord won't put a limit on there and say, oh, you've used up your coin today. You've read it four times. You can't read it again. No, you're allowed to read this as often as you want to read it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And look what it says in verse 3. As his divine power, that's the Holy Spirit, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the Lord's given us the ability to live godly. Through the knowledge of him, and that's our relationship with Christ, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And notice it says they have been given to us. They're already ours. That's past tense. And there are great and precious promises. And it says exceedingly great, not just normal great, but exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That's talking about holiness. We've been given the power by the Spirit that we can partake in the promises God has given us, and he's fighting with us too, just like he fought with them, that we can be partakers of that divine nature, that holiness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So that passage there, you can meditate through that, just like we kind of ran through it there, but those little pieces are so important. You can pray through it. That's a great passage to pray through. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you've given me. That's your power, you know, and just pray through the whole thing. Receive it in your as true in your life. You know, just don't read it as something to read and maybe stick on the wall, but really receive it into your life. And don't let the enemy beat you up in your mind by telling you that this thing isn't, this sin is too big for you. You're not going to be able to overcome it. Or that it's not worth the fight. Or that you don't have what it takes to defeat this one. You know, or whatever lie the enemy throws at you. Don't accept any of that stuff. Read this passage in 2 Peter 1. Read it over and over until it becomes part of you. God has blessed us so much. You know, a lot of times we just overlook these things or don't take them serious. But it's such a blessing from the Lord. All right, back in Joshua 16, We're going to take a look at the beginning of this. It says in verse 1, the lot fell to the children of Joseph. So now we're going to the next couple of tribes here from the Jordan, by Jericho to the waters of Jericho. On the east of the wilderness, it goes up from Jericho through the mountains to Bethel there. And Joseph's going to have two tribes, which are mentioned later. He's got the tribe of half tribe of Manasseh here, and also the tribe of Ephraim. So the following sections now are going to lay out the land portions given to these two tribes of Joseph here. If you look down to verse 4, it mentions them. So the tribe, the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, took their inheritance. So this is talking about these guys. But it goes on and gives more of the borders. Jump down to verse 10. It says, and they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt among the Ephraimites, that's the tribe of Ephraim, to this day, and have become forced laborers. So the tribe here of the Ephraimites, the Ephraim, they also disobeyed the Lord. They failed to do what God told them to do. But the reason they failed was different, if you notice. The tribe of Judah failed because they said they couldn't do it. These guys failed because of greed, when you think it through. They figured out that if they let these people stay alive and stay in their land, then they could use them as slaves to work the land and maybe help themselves get ahead. Yeah, so we can smell the greed in what they were doing here and how they handled this. But, you know, we've got to remember, we might come up with a plan like this and say, you know, I know it's really not right, but, you know, it might help me. It might help me get more produce, more animals, or whatever they come up with there. We know there's no better way than God's way. There's no better way than doing exactly what God said. Even when it looks like you're going to lose on the deal, don't even think about that. God's got you. He's going to take care of it. We don't have to cheat. We don't have to do things wrong. We don't have to try what the world tries. We just do what God tells us, and he always takes care of our needs, and we're fine. Lord takes care of us. Now, we may try to, like these folks here, we might try to justify sin in our life and say, well, I know this isn't the way I'm supposed to be doing, but I think I can make it work for me. So we justify our sin and come up with a good reason why we think we should be able to do this. Be careful with that thinking. It can be deadly. You know, when you think of sin, I want you to think of the serpent back in the garden. Serpents can be deadly. Did you know that some people have taken snakes as pets? And they thought, well, I can keep this snake in a container or a cage or aquarium or whatever else they use. But did you know that some of those snakes have gotten out of their container and they've killed kids in the home, even adults? You know, and they thought it would be safe enough to keep them in their house. You know, they could control them. I got them in a container, I can control them. Yeah, but sadly, that's how we think about sin sometimes too. But I can handle this. You know, we'll leave them in our life and we'll think that everything's going to work out okay. But the Bible warns us about the danger of sin. It says sin leads to death. It doesn't say sin leads to a better life. The devil tries to whisper that one to us, but sin does not lead to a better life. It leads to death. It's just an illusion to think different. We're deceiving ourselves if we think there's some better that's going to come out of us cheating and trying to do a little sin here and hold on to that, you know? Now, consider this too. If these tribes had the power to make these folks slaves, then they also had power to drive them off the land, right? They had the control over these people, but they decided to keep them there and try to make some profit off of them. So there's no good excuse for them to leave these wicked Canaanites in the land. No good excuse. We can come up with excuses, right? No good one, though. And the amazing thing is, when you look farther on in the book of Judges, these Canaanites eventually took over, and the tribes of Israel became their slaves. Wow, what a scary lesson for us, right? What they had convinced themselves they could control, one day it controlled them, and they were in serious trouble. Now, we're told in the book of Romans, do not allow sin to reign in your mortal bodies. Why does the Lord tell us that? Because it's possible for sin to reign in your mortal body. And it can happen where a believer allows sin in their life and it grows to the point where it now has control. It may have started with them thinking that it was just a small compromise and they could control it. But the Bible talks about sin and refers to it as leprosy, right? Because it can grow and spread. right? It's dangerous. So this is a strong warning to us not to let sin remain in our lives. Now think about this. Sin that remains can someday reign in our life. So don't allow that to take place. It's a real danger. So let's not kid ourselves how dangerous sin can be in our lives. We might be thinking, yeah, but I think I can handle this sin. It's not that big of an issue, you know? And that's what some people have thought about their pet snake until it got loose and bit some family member. Anytime we think we're smarter than God, he might let us have our way for some time, but the day will come where this thing will come back to bite us. God knows what he's talking about. Now, another lesson we learn from these tribes that allowed the wicked Canaanites to remain in their land is that we might be content after seeing the major sins conquered in our life, you know, and just figure it's okay to let the smaller sins alone. I mean, look at all the things that God's done. I mean, what's these little things? You know, I can live with that. But don't ever forget that James tells us in the New Testament that sin grows. And when it grows to its full measure, it brings death. So sin is extremely dangerous. It doesn't stay small. And all sin, every one of them, wants to rule in our lives. Don't be fooled by that either. No matter how small it starts, the goal is it wants to reign. Because our flesh is there and it wants to rule. It doesn't. That's why we always got this fight between the flesh and the spirit. All right? It wants to take us into bondage and draw us away from the Lord. That's the goal of sin. So we need to keep purifying our lives of every sin, no matter how small or insignificant it might appear. You know, Paul said in Romans 8, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And the best way to put to death the deeds of the body is to starve them. Don't let them have their way to begin with. So don't feed the flesh. You know, don't allow it to continue in your life. Josh took us through that when he was teaching on Romans 8. Now we're going to stop at this point today, but we're going to pray and ask God to give us the willpower, ask him to give us the desire to get all the junk sin out of our lives, because it's the best thing for us. And if someone is here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let today be your day. God loves you so much, he sent his own son Jesus to die on the cross for you. He paid for your sins with his own life, and he was raised back to life again. And that's the good news. All you have to do is believe that's true. Repent of your sins, ask Jesus to come into your life, and the Lord will completely forgive you of all your sins. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you to please help us. We know our flesh is trying to trick us and fool us and deceive us, Lord, and it wants to keep some of the junk around that it wants to do. And Lord, I just ask you to give us the will and the desire to want to get rid of that junk that's in our lives, Lord. Help us, Father, not to be lazy if that's our problem. Help us to remove that from us, Lord. We just want to be free so we can enjoy this blessing of living in the promised land, the spirit-filled life that you have for us. Lord, if there's someone here today and they've really been struggling and they've been tempted to give up, Lord, which is an easy temptation, Father, please help them to say, no, I'm going to continue to fight. Father, we thank you for the picture of Caleb, the picture to keep fighting and fighting and fighting until you get to the top of the hill and see the victory. Lord, I pray you would encourage that one today who is here that may have those thoughts of surrendering or just putting up with it and letting it let sin live in their life. Lord, we ask you to continue to work in us. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. Only you can do that, Lord. We just surrender ourselves to you. We look forward to what you're going to do. You get all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.